Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Do-It-Yourself WebSphere Partner Gateway Problem Determination Refresh for version 6.2. Today's presenters are Sarisa Satish, Aichi Pujo, and Natu Gohead. Sarisa joined WebSphere Partner Gateway Information Development Team in November 2007. Who has been contributing for two successful releases of WebSphere Partner Gateway. As a lead information developer, she is responsible for authoring a major gamut of documentation, coordinate translation activities, and ensure that the documentation is released in line with the product. Aichi joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway US-L2 team in November 2006. She brought experience from AIX and Lang Server Technical Support and AIX IBM Director and Storage Area Network Testing. She is certified as AIX System Administrator, Microsoft Certified Professional Internet, and Red Hat Technician. Atu is the WebSphere Partner Gateway L3 Team Lead, and he has brought with him an in-depth experience of WPG development. His technical leadership has helped various WPG customers in troubleshooting usage scenarios and enhance usability. His expertise also includes grid computing, Java, J2EE, and web development. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Aichi.
Good day, everybody. This presentation provides some useful problem determination scenarios for WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2. On slide number 2, the presentation agenda will cover an overview and checklist for WPG problem determination and specific WPG problem determination scenarios for installation, migration, transport protocol. This includes sending and receiving, Archiver, WTX, Runtime Error, Validating Error, and Exceptions, and Performance Considerations. Tips, tracks, logs, and fixes location, event details, knowledge base, and support tools will also be included. Please note there's a WPG troubleshooting guide to go into further details from this presentation. We will provide the troubleshooting guide's URL at the end of the presentation. Slide number 3. This presentation is a refresh of do-it-yourself problem determination for WPG from previous WSPE. I have provided the link here for the previous presentation just in case you're interested in the details. When you diagnose a WPG problem, you often ask the WH question. What the symptoms of the problems are, this include error code, message, exception. What the scenario is, when does it happen? How can you reproduce it? The important thing here is do the detective work and peel the onion to understand the why. Next, I'm going to go over the checklist for the problem determination. You can also get this information on page 3 of the troubleshooting guide. First, the question you will ask is the configuration properly supported? You can look up the system requirement information from WPG support page on the internet. Then you will ask, are the latest fixes applied? For all the supported tested fix packs, you can also get that information from WPG support page on the internet. Next question you will ask will be, what is the problem? Has any error been issued? On Chapter 8 of Troubleshooting Guide, we have listed the error code with solutions and workarounds. Sometimes the problem will be so difficult that you'll be required to do tracing, which exposes a lower level flow of control and interactions between components. For invoking login and tracing, please go to Chapter 11 of the Troubleshooting Guide. There will be more details there. Sometimes after you exhaust all the tools, all the search channels, you will feel you still need to talk to IBM support staff. It's very important that you go through the Mascara list to collect data before you open a trouble ticket. Next, we'll go to slide number 4. For slides number 4 and 5, we will highlight some common installation scenarios. The first problem is reinstalling WPG in distributed mode. You might be getting some ADMU error messages with a text of no servers found in configuration, stopping all server processes for the node, deleting the old backup directory, backing up the original cell repository, and such. And the root cause of this problem is WPG is not being federated to the cell. The solution will be to stop the deployment manager, rename trust.p12 and key.p12, which is present in vManager install directory, WASMD, profiles, BCG vManager, config cells, and WPG cell. Then start the deployment manager and proceed with the installation, or we'll reinstall the deployment manager at this point. Slide number 5. Sometimes the installation problem will be with DB loader. It will be very helpful to examine the logs under system temp, BCG DB loader, logs, and the logs should be providing more details of the nature of the failure. If you experience logon failure while starting WPG as a Windows service, the BCG user needs to have logon as service user right. And this needs to be done before WPG installation. Go to Control Panel, choose Administrative Tools, Services, WPG Service, and right-click the WPG Service and select Properties. Select the Logon tab and type the correct password for the BCG user account again. This will also provide the logon as service user right to the BCG user. You need to enable this the first time you install the application. The last installation problem that we want to go over during this presentation is if WPG installation exits before any dialogs are displayed, then it generates a core dump and no installation log files are created in the temp directory. You also get ISTMP, ISMP, and OS level data files type of error message on your console. And the core dump analysis will show JVMDG304 Java code file written to OPT, Vasius, PG install, DB loader, Java code file error, and dump handle has process exception signal 11. This issue is actually by a problem with the native library, libarxppk.so, which is used by the AIX platform pack. This is not a WPG problem. However, I have provided a link here just in case you're interested in looking at more details. Slide number 6. The next two slides will be discussing migration. There are some possible causes of failure from smart migration. The hot migration might fail if the deployment manager stops during processing. Please make sure that the deployment manager is up and running before proceeding with hot migration. Smart migration can also possibly fail when it is carried out immediately after WASP 6-pack upgrade. This is due to the fact that WASP server are internally stopped and started after the 6-pack upgrade. It's very important that after you starting the 6-pack upgrade process, allow WASP server to update its configuration to the latest level and then stop all clusters, all servers, and start migration. Slide number 7. If you experience document processing failure after migration, One possible cause will be the default port change for simple and simple distributed mode. On this slide, I have listed out the port numbers from WPG version 6.0 and 06 packs from that release, and also the new port number for WPG version 6.2. It's very important after you upgrade to 6.2, make sure the trading partner B2B software is updated to reference the new port value in the WPG receiver URL. JMS receiver and destination with user access do not work after migration. If you happen to have this scenario, one possible cause will be, even though WPG version 6.2 does not require WMQ as a prerequisite, the previous WPG release uses WMQ for JMS integration. The solution will be to copy fs-contacts.jar and provide a util.jar from WMQ path Java live to the WPG component user access folder. At the bottom of this slide, I have put down the specific of the folder location. Slide number 8. We'll go over transport protocol in the next two slides. After successful creation of SFTP receiver and destination in WPG, it's important to make sure this is created in WASP server admin console. And the path will be WASP admin, resource adapter, J2C connection factory. When you're there, make sure you check for every SFTP destination creation and update, corresponding clusters or stack manager are restarted. And also the hotkey file should be specified properly. Otherwise, you will receive error message in the system r.log, javax.resource.spi.resource, all location exception. And also, it's important to make sure the SFTP username, password, and output directory should be specified correctly. If it's not, you will receive error message in system r.log. System ERR, javax.resource.spi.invalid property exception. Error while validating activation spec properties. On slide number 9, one common user error is in SFTP receiver and destination creation page, it's very important to remember to use relative paths by specifying output directory, remote event directory path. And for each SFTP receiver creation, make sure that the corresponding SFTP MDB bin is created in the WPG install location. It's important to make a mental note here that while routing a document to an SFTP destination, make sure that SFTP server is up. Otherwise, the transaction will fail. And you'll receive error message stating, not able to deliver to SFTP destination. Sometimes the nature of the problem will be so complex that you will need to enable trace to debug SFTP problem. To do that, you navigate to WASP server admin console and choose troubleshooting, logs and traces, BCG server, diagnostic trace service, change log details level, runtime. And at that point, click com.ibm.j2ca and select trace level as finest to receive the most verbose error reporting. Slide number 10. The next three slides we will touch on archivers. If you receive BCG 700002 error, archiver export failure, inadequate permission, and or space. If export fails, then try to write a sample file into the corresponding directory with the proper user credential and follow those steps to to isolate the causes. The first one will be, if copying fails for file backup, then try to write a sample file in a non-REP file archive location directory as a hub owner. If export fails for database table, try to write a file in a non-REP archive database location as a DB2 fast user. If you're using Oracle, then try to write a file in a non-REP archive database location as an Oracle instance owner. In all the above cases, if you're unable to write file as respected user, then the issue here will be related to the permission provided for those old folders. Slide number 11, BCG700005 error, archiver restoration failure. First check whether the non-REP file backup is present in proper format inside the non-REP file archiver location. Then check whether non-REP database backup is present in proper format inside the non-REP database archiver location. Once again, I'm going to remind you of the six-pack and releases information. For DB2 and Oracle, check whether supported release six-pack is installed. For example, DB2 version 8.0 or Oracle 9i, they do not support archiver restored through WPG console. The next page, we're going to go over the archiver tips and workarounds. Slide number 12. When you experience auto-refresh for status in archiver configuration page is not enabled, the solution is to refresh a page manually or get the proper updated status. When you experience auto-refresh for archiver restore status is not enabled, the solution will be to click on the refresh button in archiver restore page to get the update status of archiver restore operation. Or when you experience archiver search restore document, search result row message viewer does not display the message details, the solution will be to check whether the document with the same VUID exists in archiver restore location. Slide number 13. The next two slides, I'm going to go over WTX. We'll just go through the checklist. The two things to check if you experience problem with WTX is to make sure your WPG version 6.2 is installed and running. And the same thing with WTX version 8.2. Because those two are the prerequisites. And WTX server must have access to the WPG common file system. Make sure that the common file system of WPG is mapped onto WTX server. And copy the DTXI that jar from the WTX installation directory to the directory WPG install router live user exit. Make sure the hub owner has read and execute permission for this jar file. This jar file contains the runtime classes that are required to invoke WTX for performing the transformation. And be sure to restart WPG to load the new jar file. Slide number 14. For all platforms other than Windows, execute file the env.sh in the WTX installation directory. This will initialize the environment variable required for WTX in the current session and restart WPG server from the same session so that the new path settings are loaded. For Windows, the WTX installation directory path needs to be added to the system environment variable path. And if you're using the WTX RMI server, then start the server. On WPG console, it's very important to provide values for the following attributes: WTX.RMI hostname, WTX.RMI port, RMI use server, BCG WTX MAC location. And to get the port number where the WTX RMI server is listening to, you can open command prompt and just invoke from WTX install directory saw our MI server that bad, minus verbose. Please note, while loading WPS map to WPG console, make sure that the map is compiled for the native platform on which WPS is installed. To compile WPS map for specific platform, use the build map option in WPS Design Studio. Now I'm going to turn the presentation to Savita. Thank you.
Thanks so much, IT. Hello, everyone. While we are installing, migrating, or working with WPG, I'm sure we would have encountered few errors and exceptions. Let me walk you through some of the causes and possible solutions for the commonly occurring error events. Let me start off with slide 15, where I have listed few error events that occur due to one or combination of these causes. If suppose the database is down or common file system or messaging systems are not accessible, then hub owner state engine error occurs. The receiver and the receiving processing error occurs if there is no sufficient disk space, an important directory is missing from the common file system, or if there are issues in reading or retrieving the data. To prevent such kind of errors, always ensure that the database, common file system, and messaging systems are available, has sufficient disk space, and has read, write, and delete permissions. Also, ensure that the network and database connection is always up and established. Let us now move to slide 16 to learn about the activity logging error. Activity logging error occurs when the document information is being logged on to WebSphere Partner Gateway. The error can occur due to various reasons. Here, I have listed different causes which might result in this event being generated. Whatever the causes are, while sending a document, if we ensure that it contains all the required information, we can prevent this error from being generated. Let me now move to slide 17. The error BCG410020 can occur if WPG is unable to generate a SOAP message, an acknowledgement message, a POM, or a status report. To know the exact reason of the error, verify the log file. Later in this presentation, I'll brief you on various kinds of log files and the location where each of them are stored. This will help you locate the appropriate log file. Moving on to the next event, archiver error again is generated due to common cause that we generally tend to overlook. Providing appropriate permissions, specifying correct directory path, and ensuring that there is sufficient disk space will help prevent such errors from being generated. On slide 18, let us learn about the database and packaging related errors. Process transaction error is related to database and messaging systems. If for some reason these two are down or not accessible, then WPG will be unable to post the business document objects into the destination directory or the database. The AS packaging error occurs if you provide incorrect information in the MDN URL and the email address fields. To receive timely MDN response, ensure that you provide correct connection attributes. Let us now move to slide 19, where I shall talk about few exceptions. I guess the solution to the event BCG210013 is clearly mentioned here. Now let me talk about the unexpected exception. During last EDI file transformation, WPG uses pagination so that last document is not held in the memory when it's being passed. To enable pagination, the attributes page file directory and pagination threshold will be set to a value of 1000. If no value is specified for page file directory attribute, WPG uses the user.home directory from the system property. If this directory does not have read, write, and delete permissions for BCG user, or for that matter any user who installed WPG, this error occurs on the transformation phase. To resolve this issue, provide appropriate permissions to the user.home directory. You can also provide a directory path in the page file directory field, which will be used for internal paging. Keep in mind that when you do any of these changes, restart WPG servers. This will avoid cache-related issues. Let's now move to slide 20 to know about syntax and validation errors. As we are aware, WPG 6.2 provides relocation and redeployment scripts. While executing these scripts on Solaris, always remember to use scorn or bot shell. Regarding validation errors, while transacting 3A7 RNIF documents, if the global supply chain code is not present in the XML, then 0A1 is generated with validation errors. It is mandatory to provide the global supply chain code either in 3A7 document or as an attribute to the document definition. Let us now move to slide 21. If you are an Oracle user, here is a useful tip. If you wish to provide a numerical password, ensure that it is enclosed within quotes as shown in this example. We may see the error TCPC0003E and CHFW0029E in system log files if WPG ports conflict with other applications or port number lower than 1024 is used. It is required to specify the available ports that are larger than 1024. Till now we saw some useful tips and solutions that would help resolve error events and exceptions. Let me now move to the next topic and provide few pointers to enhance WPG performance. Moving on to slide 22. The next two slides provide some tips to enhance the performance of WPG. To process large AS documents, we can configure the max file size that can be processed using the byte arrays. If the amount of memory allocated is more than the available heap size, out of memory error occurs. At runtime, WPG determines whether the file size configured can be supported based on the available heap memory. Hence, to increase the processing time and avoid errors, specify an appropriate file size value using the property pcg.maximum file size for byte arrays. Also, certain large encrypted AS documents may take a long time to process on some low-end configurations. To avoid such delay, set the AS compressed attribute to yes. This will decrease the file size of the document being sent and the processing will be faster. You can also configure the memory and subcomponent threads so that the processing can be to an optimum level. You need to keep in mind that if the configured number of threads is higher and if there is a heavy workload, then more memory is required to handle all the documents. Setting appropriate values for database parameters will also enhance the performance of WPG. In certain cases, virtual memory might be insufficient for DB2 agents to perform sort processing. In that case, decrease the value provided for sort heap parameter so as to avoid errors. Your database administrator should be able to help you with specifics on how to set this parameter on your environment. Also, running the runstat command optimizes the database query performance. This command updates the database query access plan for each table and index. You can run this command at least once a week when WPG and database activity is minimum. As the traffic increases, run the command more frequently, maybe once a day. Let's move on to slide 23. As I mentioned earlier, increasing the heap size of WPG components, configuring the thread value so that processing is to the optimum level, will ensure documents are processed faster without leading to out-of-memory errors. In a fully distributed mode installation, the high availability setup requires clustered document managers running on separate machines. If one of the systems is down, some documents might not be processed. This is because of the exclusive database lock required for internal operations. The release of the lock is dependent on the system-level configuration of TCP/IP setting. 2 hours is the default value of this property, which keeps the connection alive. To release the database lock early, provide a lower value, approximately around 60,000 to 120,000 milliseconds. Another tip is to increase the buffer size defined for DB2. This will prevent the documents getting added to the queue. Also, if the database data type is not set properly, the document viewer will display 0 KB as the file size for the documents greater than 2 GB. Now, having seen some tips on enhancing the performance of memory in document processing, let us now move to the next topic on slide 24 to know about few installation and configuration troubleshooting aspects. The next three slides will discuss details on how to address issues that we might encounter with regard to document processing, installation and configuration. Read or write timeouts can occur when sending data to the partner. This might be because of huge data, slow network, slow response time from partners and so on. To overcome these issues, increase the gateway connection timeout value in the connection definition page. Timeouts can also occur within WPG in case of synchronous response flows. This generally occurs if the router takes a long time to return back the response. To overcome this issue, adjust HTTP target max synchronous time value on the receiving WPG hub. Moving on to installation prerequisites, here are few points that you have to keep in mind. In multi-machine setup, always ensure that the group ID, user ID and system time is same on all the machines. Also, check if the deployment manager is able to resolve the host name while adding a new node to the existing WPG installation. Let's now move to slide 25. If there are issues in nodes not being able to federate while deployment manager is in a remote machine, check the add node log file in the install directory. Also, as mentioned earlier, ensure that the system time on all machines are same or has less than 5 minutes difference. You must be able to ping the machines using both the host name and the IP address. Another point to keep in mind is, when you reinstall the hub, always reinstall mass database as well. Moving on to slide 26. If you are unable to view the console login page, check if the operation system user and group are present in case of TB2. If you require more details on this, refer to the pre-installation checklist table in the installation guide. Also, if you use LDAP authentication, ensure that you create hub admin user in LDAP. Another important point to note is, while installing another instance of MAS, you will be prompted to create the database either automatically or manually. Always choose the option that you had selected during the previous installation. Having seen all these tips and traps, I'm sure we'll be wondering if there is a way to come out of this trap. Well, yes, log files are your rescuers. Let's learn about them in the next two slides. Moving on to slide 27. Okay, what's a server log file? It's a file which logs all the events and activities that occur on a server. By default, the log files will contain error level logging, which can be changed to debug level. In debug level, the log files created are bcgserver.log for simple and simple distributed modes. In case of fully distributed mode, the log files are named as bcgreceiver.log, bcgconsole.log and bcgdocmanager.log, corresponding to receiver, console and document manager respectively. The log files contain messages and trace information as well. Trace information can be filtered based on the severity and origin of the message. In the next slide, I'll provide you details on where to locate these files. You can use this as a reference to locate the appropriate log file based on your installation mode. Moving on to slide 28. As you can see, log files generated for various components during different installation modes are mentioned here along with the appropriate log file location. If the install fails, look at the temporary files in addition to the log file locations. Sometimes the problem may be logged in the temporary file since they are created before the final log file. Also, application and messaging database installation files are available only in the temporary location. Those files are not copied to any final directory. Now that we know where and what to look for, Having access to various documentation will help us get more insight into the product. Let's move to slide 29 to know about the knowledge base. This slide provides links to various WPG documentation that help you enhance your product knowledge. Apart from troubleshooting guide, which is a one-stop for problem determination and resolution, you can also refer to the Info Center, PDF documentation, various tech notes, educational presentation, and product website to gain technical expertise. Apart from these two resources, the support page is an excellent starting point to resolve issues, apply fixes, and report problems. Let us learn more about them in the next two slides. Moving on to slide 30. Here are the support links from where you can access various support tools. ESR is the electronic problem report tool that allows users to report problems electronically without calling in or staying on hold. This has proved to be a very efficient to many customers. Moving on to slide 31. Various problem diagnostic tools mentioned here help you peel the onion, as Aichi mentioned earlier. Use WPG technical forums, must-carry tools, or parts to understand what exactly the problem is. Many a time, by reviewing the data collected, you will be able to fix the problem yourself. If you would like to download a fix, Fix Central is a place for you. Also, the tech talk provides all the required information related to an issue. Now that we have touched base on most of the topics, let's summarize our learning in the next slide. Moving on to slide 32. To summarize, we went through important problem determination scenarios for various WPG modules. We discussed the cause and solutions of some of the commonly occurring events. Also, tips to enhance performance and ease of use were discussed. We also learned about the support information to download logs and fixes, which helps us to expedite the process while reporting the problem to IPM support. As mentioned earlier, you can find all these and more in the troubleshooting guide. Refer to this guide for detailed procedures, steps, and systematic approach to resolve a problem. If you wish to know more about RepSphere products in general, refer to slide 33 and 34. Let us move to slide 34. Here are a host of valuable online resources that help you gain the product knowledge. You can also sign up for the weekly email updates of the products that interest you. I would like to thank each and everyone for providing me this opportunity to present in this forum. Thanks to all of you for taking time to hear us today. Special thanks to my colleague Samla for helping me prepare this presentation. Let me now hand over to our moderator. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sabina, for a great presentation. At this point, Coria, we would like to open the line for questions.
At this time, I'm showing that we have no questions.
Thank you, Coria. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.